Okay, hello and welcome. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Thursday, the 1st of October, unbelievable. This podcast is available from iTunes and also Podomatic. You can also go to our website, which is crassfiles.com. Always C-R-A-Z-Z for Crass. Plenty of news links going up there every day and PDF files and lots of stuff to go through. All our podcasts are up there in the podcast archive, and each podcast that we do each week is up there on the main page, so you can subscribe by RSS feed if you would like it. Delivered direct. As usual, thanks to everybody out there each week for putting up with us as we go through and make our journey. Try and find out what's going on in this crazy world around us. And it's good to have you here. Okay, Garth, we are plugged in again for another week.
Yes, another swim in the deep end.
And no end, to the great people that we get to speak to. Considering we're in Australia on this island.
Fantastic.
We have to reach out to folks out there. And I don't need to tell you, Garth, but the media in Australia has got so bad. It's got so bad. It's beyond getting a splitting headache. I mean, the Murdoch media in Australia is it's not even pathetic. I mean, these people are total toilet bugs. They really are. And I can't believe it. I just can't believe generally all round, how bad it's got, even with the internet and, the amount of information that we have available online and, people updating their phones every few weeks now to get the latest software and new iPhones and new iPads and being, sledgehammered over the top of their skulls with all this information and so-called news channels and, Murdoch newspapers, and you've got in the US the Fox News and CNN, all this stuff. It's a constant thing. But people seem dumber. It's unbelievable. So it's a double-edged sword.
That's exactly right.
People are getting smarter and they're learning about the system like we are, but people are becoming dumber, Garth. And it's what we talked about the other week, is there's so much technology and it's getting so fast with the broadband and the fiber optic cables delivering information, the wrong type of information mostly to people, direct via their smartphones and stuff. They can get it right now and they're impatient. That's what the problem is, and they're not looking in the right places. But as I said, we are real brass knuckles media here. We get nothing for this. And the only way out for us is to just walk through the center of this mess. Because it's got so bad and embarrassing, and there's an endless conga line of these nitwits and half-witted pumpkin heads, Garth, lined up to join the Murdoch media in this whole rotten system that's crumbling around them, but they can't see it. They think it's the right way to live their lives, and it's really shocking to see. And so we need to just keep doing this and keep talking, get the information out, and keep linking up with like-minded people. And if people don't want to listen or don't want to link up with us, I really don't care anymore, because that time's passed, it's got so bad now that it's fight or die. So we have to keep going and pushing forward, Garth, and linking up with fantastic guests. And we are in really great company today. We have Jordan Maxwell joining us. He has certainly walked the walk, and Jordan has done the hard road. And Jordan is a fascinating guy, Garth, because he's one of those people that has spent his whole life, researching. He's a scholar, incredible researcher, trying to warn people about this New World Order system, as we call it, and the banking and this fake religious system that we have all around us, trying to warn people, Garth, and tell people, our fellow man, what's happening around us and the poison that's going on all around us, and people, just don't want to know. And Jordan's copped it for it, and lost everything and really had a bad time with this. And that's what happens. And you compare that now with all this rotten media, and that seems like the right way to be. And you get a big pat on the back when you follow all these people, but you try and help people and you end up in the dumps. And, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, you go down the road and you tell the average man and his family, hey, mate, you're being poisoned. You know, the water coming out of your tap is toxic. You know, it's got deadly fluorides in it and hydrofluorosilicic acid and chlorine and poison from smelting plants and industrial waste and chemical nuclear plants. And they look at you like you're an idiot, you know. And then when they get prostate cancer and breast cancer and all this stuff, years later they can't trace it back. And the eyes roll over, don't they, Garth? They just don't want to know. Do. If you came up and told me you're being poisoned, mate, I would immediately look into it. Not because I'm gullible, because my will to keep living and surviving, and I want to fight. I haven't lost that. But most people now, they're just not interested anymore. But we certainly are, and nobody's looked into this system of death and depravity more than Jordan Maxwell, and he's here with us today, Garth. And
yes,
it's great to have the man here with us for a conversation today for about an hour, and hope to get him back each month to keep going through all of his work and what he's put out there for all of this time. So enough ranting on my end. Jordan, and welcome, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for having me on. Yeah, it's quite a world that we have now come to have to live in. And what I see happening is that there is a war going on against the human race, against the human family, all over the world. It's not just in America. It's all over the world. And I've come to understand a lot, because I've said this so many times, that I'm not the world's foremost authority on anything. I know how much I don't know. But I've been able, all of my life, I've been able to have strange experiences with meeting incredible people. Even as a child, I was meeting strange and interesting, thought-provoking people who were knowledgeable and researchers and writers and authors. And as I grew up, I started meeting very powerful people, extraordinarily powerful people that I would not even talk about in public, that I know and that they know me personally, and things that they have told me in private. And so that's what I bring to the table. I'm not very clever. I'm not just an ordinary man. But I've been in the company of so many incredibly brilliant people. I've been blessed, I feel. I think the Great Spirit has allowed me to be in the company of extraordinary minds to awaken me, so that I can now be able to talk to other people, because I know that so many people today are so busy just living their lives that they don't have time to sit down and really examine the world they live in and understand how things work. I've said this before, and maybe some in your audience have heard it, but I think it bears witness to say it again. That's an example I've used in the past. If you have a two-story building and you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, like printing presses or whatever, something really extremely heavy, the first thing you need to do is go downstairs with a building inspector and get on a ladder and go up and look at the ceiling, remove the ceiling tiles on the first floor and look at the foundation of that second floor, to see if it's going to hold the kind of weight you're going to put on it. So what you're doing is you're standing under the foundation you're going to build on. And this is where we get our word understanding. Because if you don't stand under the foundation, then you don't understand what's going on. And so too many people today do not have the time and have never seen the need to understand the world they live in. So all my life, since I can remember, 8 and 9 years old, I have been seeking to understand the world I live in, how it actually works. And once you do that, it becomes extraordinarily clear how the world is operating today. It all makes sense once you understand that the world does not operate the way you think it does. Nothing works the way you think it does. Banks don't do what you think they do. Insurance companies are not there to do what you think that they do. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. And so, as I said, commerce, religion, government, none of it works the way you think it does. And so that's why today the world of mankind is involved in wars and crime and starvation and all kinds of criminality and confusion. And from that, of course, you get frustration of the human person, the human being, becomes frustrated, and therefore now you turn to entertainment and alcohol and drugs and violence and fast cars and drugs and anything to fill the void, because people just don't understand the world they live in and how to live themselves, and so they become very, very frustrated and end up in violence, wars, and violence in the street. And so I sit quietly, because I've been looking and studying the world for over 55 years. I mean, I'm 75 now, but I've been doing this kind of research and reading and studying, since I was like 9, 10, 11 years old. I was always reading everything I could about how the world works, why we have wars, what is the reason for the things which happen on the earth. And I have discovered that the real reason why things happen in this world has nothing to do with anything you think it does. And so it's really an extraordinary feeling to wake up one day and find out that the world you live in operates on a totally different level than you knew about. And once you now begin to look at the way things work, everything begins to make sense, why things work the way they do, and why there's wars, and why do we have a Vatican, and why are there, three major religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity? Why three? And why is three so important in numerology throughout the world? And, why is God always three persons? Well, it's always been that way. Not just in Christianity, as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three and one. No, heavens, no. This goes back some 7,000 years that we know of. In the Hindu, there was Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. There was in Egypt, Osiris, Isis, Horus. In Judaism, there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Christianity, there's Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And even in the world of religion, the three major religions is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Everything is in threes. I mean, you play baseball, first and second, third base, and then you go home. There's a whole world of numbers and numerology and symbols and words, terms, and catchphrases, and especially visible symbols and emblems and national coats of arms and heraldry and symbols of government and police departments and fire departments and governmental agencies. So the whole world is very, very difficult to understand. That's why I said so many people are frustrated. They're either in jail, they have to go to court, Their families are breaking up. Their marriages are breaking up. Their children are on drugs. Their countries are in wars and violence. And there's white collar crimes and drug addiction. Why? Because the whole human race is very, very frustrated and have been going for thousands of years the wrong way because we don't understand how things work. So that's been my, I guess you'd call it a mission for all these many years. I've been doing it, what I do now, I've been doing for about 50 years, talking to people about the hidden dynamics of the world you live in and what the words mean and what the terms mean and where do these ideas and concepts that we live by, where do they come from? And the history of the world is absolutely fascinating. They make history in schools purposely, make history so boring and so listless and so tasteless that it's just agony to sit in a history class. It's so stupid, and it doesn't mean anything,
Tell me about it.
Until you get the real story.
Oh, well.
And once you begin seeing the real actual story of the evolution of the human race and where we've come from and what happened to the earth 5,000 years ago and 8,000 years ago, and begin to see how the great empires developed, where did the Grecian Empire come from, and how did Rome develop, and then coming into the European, and then ultimately into America, and how the religio and the political and the economic systems developed, then it gets interesting. So I've spoke to young people, classes of young people, and they're absolutely floored, and they love the idea. They've got tons of questions. I can see in their eyes they are fascinated with stuff they've never heard before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're in a history class, and you've never heard any history. It's just all dry, listless, saltless, tasteless, bunch of nonsense. And so that's what I've been trying to do, is just wake people up to understand that the world they live in is absolutely phenomenally interesting and fascinating knowledge to be had. And yet so many people, I like what Gurdjieff said one time, the great mystic. He said, we are all born in a palace, but we never leave, but we never get out of the basement. And that's true. I mean, each one of us has a mind and a brain that can open out to creation, to see the universe, to understand the size and the distances and the phenomena of out there in space, and begin to question why we on the earth are so important. Why is there so much life on this earth? There's just millions of ideas of life, from snails to dinosaurs to bears to humans, while we look out into space and we don't see anything. Well, why is there so much life here? What's the story about Earth? Well, as a matter of fact, what's the story about you? Where did you come from? And so, all I'm saying is that the world is far, far bigger and far more interesting than you have even begun to suspect. And so, unless and until you are prepared to look at the other side, come out of the dark into the light and start waking up and asking questions about where does government come from? You know, and when you see royalty, like the British royalty, how many people have ever asked themselves, I did when I was a kid, how many people ask themselves, who in the hell told you were royal? I mean, where does that come from, royal? how come you can ride around in gold chariots and flip your cigarettes on my children and mock me as a working class person, and you are royal? You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. You can just roll around all day long and chauffeured limousines, and people have to bow when you walk in because you are royal. What are you talking about? Well, the kings will tell you, and the royalty will tell you, well, we have something called a divine right of kings. Well, the word divine implies from God. And so if you have a divine right, that means God has given you a right. To which I would say, what God? Hell, I'm looking all around the world. I don't see God. I see you acting like you're a God, but I don't see any God. So what God are you talking about? Well, then you find out that the divine right of kings is a concept that comes out of the ancient world, but which was perfected in Europe. And so when you begin to see what we're talking about, modern day royalty, they have a divine right. Why? Because the Pope appointed them to their royal position. And so when the Holy Father appoints you and knights you and appoints you to be a king or a prince, you get your appointment from the Pope. And obviously, the Pope talks directly to God, and he represents God. So in a manner of speaking, we could say you have a divine right. Why? Because the Pope said so. And if he says so, well, then he's speaking for God. So you have a divine right. Well, then you begin looking at, wait a minute, what is he the Pope of? Well, the Catholic Church. Well, let's look at what the word Catholic means. The word Catholic is a Latin word which means universal, implying it's all over. So it's not a particular religion. It is a word which means universal. So, therefore, air is Catholic. Water is Catholic. Stupidity is Catholic. Because it's all over. There's air everywhere. There's water everywhere. And there's certainly stupidity everywhere, and there's food everywhere, so food is Catholic. Ants and roaches, they're Catholic because they're everywhere, and so it just simply means everywhere. Well, then let's go back and look at the full title. The Catholic religion is actually correctly called the Roman Catholic Church. Well, the Roman, now we're talking about Roman. And the word Catholic means everywhere. Well, at one time, many hundreds of years ago, Rome did rule the known world. And so the religion that was practiced in Rome, according to Latin, Rome had a religion, and that religion ruled the world as the religion of Rome. So it was called the Roman Universal or Catholic religion. So people today think the Roman Catholic Church is the most holy of all holy churches because it represents Jesus Christ, it represents God. No, no, no. It represents the Roman Empire. Julius Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, the Caesars of Rome. And Rome has, from its very beginnings, the ancient Roman Empire has dominated Europe for at least 2,300 years. The ancient Roman Empire, when it first began and it began to dominate all of Europe, Eastern and West, it's dominated Europe for about 2,300 years. And when Rome fell in the 5th century, right around the 5th century, the Vatican took over the position of the Holy Roman Emperor, Tiberius Caesar, Julius Caesar. And so the Caesars were referred to as Pontifex Maximus. Well, today the Pope is in Rome, and he sits in the seat of the Caesars. and he is referred to as the Pontifex Maximus. So when you see the Pope today, he represents the Roman Empire under the Caesars of Rome. And so today, Rome still dominates Europe. All over Europe is dominated by the Holy Father and the Roman Empire. But the whole world has been dominated by Europe for 2,300 years. So the bottom line is, as you probably have heard, all roads lead to Rome. And that's true. No matter what's going on in the world today, no matter what Vietnam wars or Middle Eastern wars or you know, our banking failures around the earth, all roads lead to Rome. It's the Roman Empire. And unless you understand that your very country, Australia, is part of the Roman Empire. And so once you begin to see where your laws have come from, what are you talking about? Law. Whose law? Well, it's the Romans' law under the Caesars of Rome. And it's come down to you today. He owned the whole earth in his mind. Well, that's exactly what the Holy Father has said in Rome, that his word is absolute sovereign law on the whole earth. And everybody, I don't care what country you represent, I don't care what country you're the king of, or you're the president, or the emperor, or the prime minister, it just doesn't matter who you are and what country you represent. You go to Rome, and you get down on your knees, and you kiss the ring and the feet of the Pope. Period. I don't care if you're Jew, I don't care what you are, or who you are, or what country you represent, you will ultimately one day be required to go to Rome and kneel before the Pope and kiss his ring. Why? Because he's the boss. He's always been the boss. It's called the Roman Empire, and it's the Caesars of Rome have not died. It's the same continual, powerful establishment that is running all of Europe. And Europe, of course, America comes from Europe. And so, you know, that was the European world of Rome. Well, then we come over to America and set it up, the same operation. It becomes called the New World. America is referred to as the New World. And so it's the same order under Rome, so it becomes the New World Order, which is the same old Roman order in the New World. Well, so we call it the New World Order. No, it's the Roman order in the New World. And so today, religion, government, politics, money, commerce, all of it has to be understood by looking at the really dark side of the world history and the world you live in. And so many people have no idea what I'm talking about. So I just do the best I can to try and wake people up. There's a bigger world out there, and you don't know about it. I like what George Carlin said. He was brilliant orator, but he said, when you look at the world, it's a big club, and you ain't in it. Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's a major, major operation, but you ain't in it. You're just an employee, and they can fire you at any time. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to wake people up to I know it's, you know, people are busy trying to just stay alive and pay their bills and pay their taxes and drink beer and watch the TV, but I'm also calling attention to the fact that unless and until we slow down and get off the train, get off the bus, sit quiet and look around at the world that you live in and begin to examine the symbols, all the things you'll see as symbols in a synagogue. And why did the places where Jews go, why is it called a synagogue? And why is it spelled? And it's spelled S-Y-N-A. Synagogue, but in Israel, you go to synagogue, it's spelled S I N S-I-N-A, not S-Y, S-I-N-A, synagogue. So there's a reason for that difference. And so you begin to understand how religions have developed, where they come from, what is the Jewish religion, what is Christianity, what is Islam, where did it really come from? So anyway, that's just the ramblings of an old man. I'm 75 years old, but I've been all over the world. I've talked to all kinds of interesting, strange, and powerful people. And I know something about the way the world works. I know where it's been. I understand clearly where it is now. But my real fear is I know where it's going. And where it's going is very, very serious and very frightening. Because the people, you know, I've said this before too, and it bears witness to say it again, that a lot of people are awake to the fact that we are in trouble. The whole earth is in trouble. But we really can't do anything about it. We can fret about it, worry about it, talk about it, and commiserate together over all the terrible things. But collectively, the human race cannot really, in fact, do anything about it. And the reason why we can't do anything about, you know, Australians can't really do anything about their government. They can complain and argue and cry and moan about it, but you can't really do anything. Well, the same thing in America. You know, Americans have freedom of speech. You can rant and rave all you want all day long. Nobody cares. You're still going to do what the government tells you to do, or you're going to prison. And so you can cry all you want, but bottom line is you don't have any power. And the reason why you don't have any power to do anything is very simple. Knowledge is power. And since you don't even begin to know anything about the world you live in, how are you going to affect the change at all? You don't even know what's going on. You're going to something called a church and have no idea in the world where the word church even comes from. You know, you use the word church, you use the word mission, Lord, you talk about the Lord, and you have no idea where that word L-O-R-D came from, what it means, what it meant. You know, you talk about dying and going to hell. You have no idea what the word hell actually means, where it came from. So I'm just saying, we have no power because we have no knowledge. And that's what I've been watching all my life, trying to educate people to get a life, wake up, buy a dictionary, begin to study and read history, understand religion, government, commerce, understand the world you live in. So, and it's a very difficult struggle, and I realize that most people hearing me have no idea what I'm talking about, but I do the best I can. That's why I'm here with you. I'm just doing the best I can to awaken my fellow man to the need to wake up and get power by understanding. Read something. You know, do something you've never done before. Go to a library and read a book. You know, do something smart and intelligent. Start asking questions about everything. And, I mean, I could go on for hours. I've been doing this for over 55 years. I could sit and talk for a week on subjects that nobody's ever heard. So,
well, it's true, Jordan. You know, it's the illusion, as we call it, that's, as it says in The Matrix, that's been pulled over our eyes to blind us from the truth. It's so intense nowadays. The sports, yeah, the pornography, the TV. I mean, you go into most people's houses, they have the TVs. I've never seen such massive TVs. They've got access to technology and laptops and computers and smartphones in every room. And they're constantly looking at the news and all this stuff, but they're not learning anything. And, you know, this entertainment is just intensifying to keep people asleep. And to keep the masses of the world from even asking any questions or going out and asking their fellow man anything. And it's got worse and worse and worse, you know?
Well, I know. I know. And my point is that it's going to continue to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to continue to get worse. Why? Because anytime you've got fruit and it's sitting out and it's starting to get rotten, it does not get better with age. It only gets more and more rotten the longer you live, the longer you leave it. Same thing, the same problem is true today. The world is not going to get better because it's filled to the brim with ignorant people who are happy to be ignorant, who sit and watch television, drink beer, watch their ball games, and they're not interested to know. But see, I even as a child, I wanted to know. So I went out of my way to educate myself even at an early age. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. When I was like, 8 or 9 years old, I was, raised Catholic. And so about 8 or 9 years old, you are required by the church to get what is called confirmation. Confirmation means to confirm that you are a Catholic. They have confirmation services in Judaism also. They probably have same type of thing in Islam. But in the Catholic Church, you go to your church, and there's a service called confirmation. And we were told as children, 8, 9-year-old kids in school, Catholic school, that tomorrow night when you go to church confirmation service, you children are going to be confirmed Catholics. And after the confirmation service is over, we were told, perhaps the bishop who will be overseeing the confirmation service, perhaps the bishop might ask you children if you have any questions that he will try and answer, because now that you're officially a Catholic, he will try and answer any questions you have. So we were told by the nuns that if that were to happen tomorrow night, just remember you don't have any questions. No children ask any questions, period. You just sit quiet. So the next night after the confirmation service was over, the bishop did ask, and he said, if any of you children have questions, I will try and answer them. Well, all of us kids knew that you're not supposed to ask anything. So I stood up and raised my hand, and I said, "Yeah, I have a question." I said, "My dad works with torches. He does a lot of welding with torches." And I said, "My question is, if there was an angel standing next to me, could I take a torch and hurt him by burning him? Could I hit an angel with a torch and burn him? Would it hurt him?" And the bishop said, "Well, of course not." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, first of all, fire is a natural thing. You have to have wood or plastic or something to burn. You can't just burn an angel." And I said, "Why can't you burn an angel?" And he said, "Well, angels are spirits. You can't even see an angel, much less burn one, because they're a spirit. You can't burn a spirit." And I said, "Well, then why am I so concerned about going to hell where my spirit will burn forever if you can't burn a spirit?" And everybody sat there, all the adults sat there, like in a comedy routine. Everybody sat there and looked at each other. They never thought of such a thing. Where the hell does this 9-year-old kid come up with a stupid question like that? Why, we never thought of such a thing. And I said, "Well, I did. I'm 9 years old, and I've already figured out somebody's lying to me. You don't have to be an astronaut or Albert Einstein to figure out this is stupid." I'm wearing myself sick that I'm going to die and go to hell and burn forever, and my spirit's going to burn forever. And I just got the bishop telling me, you can't burn a spirit. So yeah. I don't, you know. So my figure, my thought was at 9 years old, I think I'm getting out of here. I don't think you adults know what you're doing. And so that started my life on a downhill course. I began to, you know, I began as a kid, begin to ask questions, and I became really quite well known in my hometown as a brainy kid asking too many questions. And don't talk to him because God knows all he's got is questions. And so that's what I'm still doing. At 75, I'm still asking questions. And most people look at me and have no idea in the world what the question means, much less to have an answer. Most people have never even thought about to ask the question, less what the answer is. Well, that's what I do. That's who I am, and that's what I do.
Well, the way they're arranging the school curriculums now, you can't possibly ask questions.
No. And it's just as well because the teachers don't know the answer anyway.
Yeah, that's
so.
That's...
so it's just as well. You're just wasting your time and theirs. They don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's we read a story out last week from the United States, Jordan, with these new curriculums in the United States, where they're teaching preschoolers about anal sex and gay sex and bisexuality and transgenderism and using dildos and all this sort of stuff. And they're even, I put a story up from the UK, they're making transgender underpants now for children because, you know, so they're not comfortable in their bodies anymore, all this sort of stuff. So that's what people's kids are learning when they go to school, Garth. I mean, Jordan was talking about history, as bad as that is. It's got so bad now, and it's gone so far under the quicksand, Jordan, that it's got into this sexual stuff now, and it's just going
worse. It's gone. It's gone into the actual fabric of human society, so that the actual fabric of the human society is now completely polluted. With stupidity, ignorance, criminality. I'm just watching the fall of the Roman Empire.
It is. Mm. It is. It is. Yeah, when you see that, you think we're at the end times. I mean, when they start doing molesting children and all this, and they're teaching this pedophile sort of attitude in schools, that, you know, they're coming out saying that it's okay now to be a pedophile, you know, and teaching these, it's so bad, this Common Core in America, you know, and it's getting like that here, Garth, as well. It's getting so stupid, Jordan. We had preschools in Victoria in Australia ban the word black out of bar black sheep because it's racist. You know, it's like, it's so stupid. It's just getting worse. I mean, we're a total nanny state in Australia, an absolute nanny state, Garth. Mm. I mean, I can't believe how bad it's got. You know, and I was just down the road yesterday, Garth, at the bus stop, and there's a sticker on there, and it's a no smoking sticker. And instead of saying no smoking, it says no smoking 10 meters from this sticker. And so Joe Blow, who's waiting for the bus and wants to light up a cigarette, he's going to do 10 steps, Garth. 1, 2, down the road. All right, I'm 10 meters. Okay, I'm going to light up now because a sticker told him to. You know, it's humiliating. And people are just buying into this. Wear a helmet when you ride a bike. It's all about domination and control and power. You know, it's unbelievable.
Of course it is. But I'll tell you what's really frightening about it. That's just plain stupid. But what's really frightening about it is that the people of your country are like the people of my country. They don't see any difference. They just go along and do whatever they're told to do. And nobody is buying, you know, like the old saying, when everybody is thinking alike, that means nobody's thinking at all. And so everybody seems to enjoy
punishment.
Doing what everybody else is doing, you know.
Mm. Well, that's what Huxley was talking about, and it's quite amazing because it's exactly what's happening today, you know. And people are so politically correct But everywhere you go, I mean, if you want to build a house in this country, you've got to go through all this rigmarole, and they say that's the right. Government is protecting us. Well, why can't we make our own individual decisions? Like, for instance, if we don't want to insulate our homes, we're going to be cold in winter and hot in summer. Well, that should be our own individual decision. But now it's not. It's the decision of the councils, and the councils just about tell you everything you have to do if you're going to build your own home.
Can't take a pee well, on I your know. Own property without
you
council
can't do
permission.
Anything.
That's right. I know that. Yeah, in America, you cannot collect rainwater. If you put a bucket out and it's raining like rainwater, you'll go to prison. You'll go to jail.
That's frightening, isn't it? That's, Yeah. My golly gosh. Yes. Well, there's even people going to jail for growing a garden full of veggies.
That's right. You can go to jail for that, you know. So it's extraordinary. I'm just sitting there watching it as a Like I always like to say, I'm just an old man sitting there watching things happening. But I'm not stupid. I've been all over the world. I know what's going on. I understand Nazism, communism, Marxist-Leninism. I understand social Marxism. I understand how the world works politically, religiously. I understand how this stuff has come about. I used to, as a little kid, used to wonder, why did the Roman Empire, that was so powerful and dominated such a large spot of the world, why did they fall? Why did it collapse? My God, it's like General Motors, and it's like Ford Motor Company, and all of a sudden, one day, they're broke, and they went out of business, and closed down, and shut down, and nobody's job anymore, and you think, my God, the money you had and the power you had, and it's all gone.
Like Detroit, Jordan, Detroit City.
Yeah.
Yeah, just gone.
Detroit was it just incredible. Gone. and you think, where did it go? Yeah. You know, there was hundreds of billions of dollars in Detroit from General Motors, Ford Motor Company, Chrysler, and all the big corporations. There was so much money there in Detroit, in that whole area called the Motor City of the world. And today, there's zero, nothing.
Ghost town.
Broken down ghost town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you think, wait a minute. If there's a loss of money, it's like in the stock market. When you see the stock market go down and tons of people lose huge amounts of money in the stock market. Most people are not smart enough to ask a simple question that there's so much money there. All right, if it's not there and they've lost money, where did it go? Where did the money go? Well, I know, but we just lost in the stock market, lost $37 billion in the stock market. Well, where did that $37 billion go?
That's what
airhead.
I keep asking. Yeah, exactly. Where does it go?
Where did it go?
Keep telling it's just gone. Oh, there's a stock market crash. But where did
it
go?
It's all gone. Well, where did it go?
Come on. It's unbelievable.
And then you find out later on, if you're smart and you start looking, you find out some big corporation moved the money out of the country and some international bankers moved the money out of this country to another country and collapsed the stock market. And that country, so that they could come back in. I mean, it's an old trick. If I'm financing Sears or some big operation, the smart thing to do is let it broke. Make it go broke. When it goes broke, then I can go in and buy all back for a dollar or a penny on a dollar. And so now I own the whole city. So somebody made Detroit go broke so that they can come in now with a few bucks and buy it up. And now it's been bought up. Now all of a sudden, everything will start getting busy again. And everybody's happy. They have a job again. But nobody's asking, who bought this town? Where did the money come from? So it's called, what we're looking at around the world is something called Marxist-Leninist communism. That's what it is. it's the Marxist-Leninist communist philosophy that the government owns everything, period. And if that is the best way to cause that to happen, is really rather simple. If the government now begins to put huge taxes on you, huge fines and regulations and all kinds of tariffs and all sorts of bills that you have to pay to be in business. If you're a railroad company, they put a huge taxes on you, huge fines on you. You have to do this. You got to do that. You have to do this until finally you just go broke. And now you're broke. You can't run the railroad company because you're broke. That's what the government wanted. So now that you are broke, well, the government will come in and say, well, my God, we can't have the trains go broke. I mean, that's how we transport materials from one side of the country to the other and foods and all that. So we can't allow it to go broke. So I guess we'll just have to, the government to come in and finance the train company to keep them operating because they went broke, but somebody's got to do something. So I guess the government has to come in and finance them. Well, anyone knows anything about government or banking will tell you that any time a government finances anything, it owns it.
Mm.
So yes. If the government comes in, and you got a company, and your company's going broke because you've got so many taxes and so many heavy fines and all that, and you're going broke. And one day you have to shut down the company and go broke. Well, the government comes in and says we can't have that. This is a very important company, and you're providing important services and goods, and the people need that. So we'll just have to come in and help you get back on your feet. So we're going to give you how many millions of dollars to get back on your feet and pay your employees, and everybody's happy. Well, thank God the government is coming in and you know, giving us the money we need to get back on our feet. But what you don't realize, the government's not giving you money. They just bought you. They're the boss now.
Yeah.
So from here on out, you just remember some where the money came from. And that's the boss. They are the boss of all bosses for you.
Mm.
And so that's the same thing that's happening all over the world.
You know, and they become the boss, Jordan, and you pay.
Yeah, that's right. You pay, and I am the boss. And that's the way the Marxist-Leninist system worked in Russia. And it worked so well in Russia that the Americans decided that's a far more better, it's a much better way to operate. So that's why America is now a full 100% Marxist-Leninist communist government. Period. Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how does Trotsky fit into that? Because I understand a lot of these people in power have been referred to as Trotskyites, but isn't Trotsky a sort of cultural Marxism as well?
Well, of course. And all you got to do is go on the web, just read about all these different the one book I would highly, highly suggest, probably the most important book I have in my library, and I had tons of them. It's written by a man named James Billington, Billington, James Billington. And the book is called Fire in the Minds of Men. Fire in the Minds of Men,
yep.
James Billington. And James Billington today is the chief librarian for the Library of Congress. So you don't get anybody more educated and more professional than the chief librarian for the United States Congressional Library. But James Billington not only is a profoundly wise and well-educated man for many, many years with so many doctorates and PhDs by his name, but he is also an incredibly interesting storyteller who is giving you the real truth about how this stuff works. And the book is a very thick book called Fire in the Minds of Men by James Billington, in which he explains all of this. The Marxist, Leninism, Mark, and the Nazi, SS, Gestapo, how the governments work, and how the religions, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Christian religions, the Marxist religions, how all of this mess that's in the minds of men, it's a fire in the minds of men. They're always on fire to start a new cult or a new religion or a new banking idea or start a new government. It's a fire in the minds of men. And what James Billington has done is absolutely masterful. He has explained where it all comes from. It goes all the way back into 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years ago with the kings who represented not only the state, but they also represented God. So the king, not only was the king for political reasons, but he was also the one God. And so anybody he appoints has a divine appointment. And so, the book, Fire in the Minds of Men, is absolutely essential reading. I've had it about 10 copies. And every time I get one, I loan it and I have to go get a new one. But I would highly suggest while you can get it, you need to get it now while you can, because this is the chief librarian for the Library of Congress telling you exactly how all of this bullshit works, where it came from, and how it works, and who's done it, and give them their names, and who they are, and how they put it together, and who works with. Fascinating book. Just one of the, so as I said, the key to human freedom is knowledge. And since the whole world collectively has virtually no knowledge on how the earth works, that's why all over the world people are treated like slaves, because in point of fact they are slaves. And slaves are not supposed to know anything about nothing. They just do what they're told to do.
Yes.
So I'm afraid for the world that I live in. I know where my country is going. I know where the world is going. And no matter how bad you may think things are, I will guarantee you they're much, much worse than you even begin to know.
Yeah.
Far, far worse than you know. So... And then, of course, if you want to throw in with that, you can throw in the extraterrestrial presence on the Earth, the ETs, extraterrestrial life forms that are called by government EBEs, EBE, extraterrestrial biological entities, actual living creatures that are not from the Earth. And they are not from here, but they've come here from somewhere else. And government knows about it. Military knows about it. Important people are made to know about it. When they become president and prime ministers, they are told by the intelligence agencies of the world that there is a whole presence of other world entities, other creatures here who are far, far more intelligent, far more advanced, far more intellectually superior with their technology, with their abilities to guide the destiny of the human race. And, I've seen too much. I've seen too much, heard too much, been in the company of some incredible people from Hollywood. I lived in Hollywood for 55 years. I know everybody in Hollywood. All the producers, directors, all the top actors. I know the writers, producers, directors. I know what Hollywood's all about. I know where it comes from and who's running it and where the money is. The very word Hollywood comes from Europe. even hundreds of years before the Roman Empire even existed, there was an establishment in Europe, both Eastern and Western Europe. There was already an establishment of power. And that establishment of power in Europe for 1,000 years ago was called Druids. And the Druids are still today in Europe. Druidism is very big. You always hear about the Druids meeting. Well, the Druids, one of the most important symbols in the Druid civilization in Europe was a magic wand. Druids were known for using magic wands, like an orchestra leader today. An orchestra leader has a magic wand, and everyone plays in the orchestra to his magic wand. He's the boss, not you. And so he orchestrates the music with his magic wand. Or magicians will, like Mickey Mouse, the magicians will use a magic wand. Well, magic wands are used by magicians to work magic. But what people don't realize is that in the old ancient Druidic system, thousands of years ago in Europe, the magic wands were made out of the wood of a holly tree. It's made out of holly wood.
Yep.
And today we have all over the world a magic of Hollywood.
Yes.
No, the wood of a holly tree was what they made magic wands out of. So today the Europeans are working their magic on the whole world, from India to Russia to China, the whole world is infatuated and dazzled by the European magic wand, the Holy Father, the Vatican, money, power, corruption, drugs, entertainment, music. It's an incredible establishment of occult or hidden power. Fascinating. But there's not much you're going to do about it because the people, generally speaking, love it.
Love it.
So yes.
The giant spell.
Yep, that's
like
right.
A giant web over everybody. And they can't see it. That's the thing, Jordan, as well.
Well, that's the way you create a word.
Yeah.
As you spell it. And so...
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And so words are like a spell.
A spell. Yeah, that's right. Dear I may, yes.
So that's why people walk around all day long using words. And they go to court, and they have to go to court. Why do you go to court? You play basketball on a court. You play tennis on a court. That's why you go to court. Well, how do you play tennis on a court? You play with a racket. Well, of course you play with a racket, because a court is a racket. And so... you begin to look at the words you use, and before you know it, you begin to poke your nose into all of the dirty world of words and terms and business and money and politics and religion and God and church and insurance companies. And all of a sudden, you begin to see there's a whole world here that most people have never even looked at. So, again, that's all I try to do is wake people up and tell them to get a life, go read a book, start thinking for yourself. And so, and I know that we don't have much time left, but I would suggest if you want to start educating, I get a lot of people asking me this, well, where in the world would I start? And I always say, well, the first thing you could do is turn off the television and never turn it on again. And then the second thing I would recommend you do is go to my website called Jordan Maxwell Show, S-H-O-W. Very simple. Jordan, like the river, J-O-R-D-A-N, Maxwell, M-A-X-W-E-L-L, Jordan Maxwell Show. And it's jordanmaxwellshow.com. But It's a podcast. It's a radio podcast. But on that Jordan Maxwell Show podcast, at the top of the page, you will see a little banner that says Research Society. What that Research Society is quite simply my new website. That's all. It's just a website because my other website was stolen from me by my webmaster. He stole my money, my books, my everything I own in the world. He stole, and he stole my website, and so I had to start a new website. And so the new website is JordanMaxwellShow.com. But as I said, when you go there, you will see a link at the top saying Research Society. That's my new website. Jordan Maxwell Show is my podcast. But my new website is called Research Society. Click on it and join it. It only costs a few dollars for the year. And you will have access to all of my research that I've been doing for over 50 years. All the documents, books, pictures, diagrams, all kinds of dark knowledge and stuff that most people don't even know exists. Explaining how governments work, insurance companies work, how all of the where all the religions actually come from. What the symbols mean, what the emblems mean. It's just an extraordinary world of knowledge that most people have never knew existed. So that's what I'm doing. I'm redoing my website because the first one was stolen, and I just call it Jordan Maxwell's Research Society. It's just my new website. And if you want to, go and join, because I'm putting a lot of material out there that nobody's ever seen before. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. And I feel that's my calling in life. Before I leave this world, and like I said, I'm 75, I'm not going to be here much longer. But before I leave this world, I want to give to people knowledge that they are not permitted to know about. And thank God we have the web and a new technology, and I've got some great people helping me put my work out. So,
looks great.
Go there and start there. Yeah, go there and start there.
I know, because you got utterly ripped off and you lost everything, and sleeping on the floor and had nothing, and absolutely ripped off by these people. It's just unbelievable how you have faith in humanity is amazing, and I know you dropped off the face of the earth for a lot of years, but this is sort of invigorating. You've come back with this, and I think it's a really great idea.
I'll tell you what, you're right, because I did drop off the earth, and I want to tell you why.
I didn't think you were going to come back.
but I've had threats against my life, against my work, against my name, and against my family. When you start turning on lights in dark places and starting to show the stuff really going on, you're going to make a lot of enemies. Going to affect a lot of people's paychecks and start affecting their comfortable living. And so they're not going to be happy with you telling the story about, if they got a scam going and you're starting to put it out and show people how the scam works. The scammers are not going to be happy with you. And so there's a lot of lies and treachery and God knows criminality going on. And so I've had to fight for my life to stay alive and lost everything. And like I said, I'm losing everything to do. Mm. But I'd rather lose my life in this world than to save it. I'd rather do the best I can. At least when I leave here, if I'm required to stand before my Creator, if that happens, I don't know. But if that happens, at least I can say, well, yes, I was like anybody else with all the faults that any other human had. But at least I tried to do something for the past 65 years. Of my life, I've tried to wake my fellow man up and give them knowledge and understanding and help them help my country and generally the whole world to awaken to knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So at least I tried to do something. I don't care if people cared about it or not. At least I tried to do something to help my fellow man.
Yeah, and you gave away a lot of money to people, and they ripped you off. It's it's unbelievable. But as I said, I think this is the it's a really good idea because it's got you started again, and it gives people out there access to all your work. And you know, for a monthly fee, I think it's a good idea, and it allows people to get access to the information, and it gives you a little bit of a living as well.
Yep.
You know, that's the way to do it, and it's cheap, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not asking, you know, usually newsletters, anytime you get newsletters from any professional newsletters, they're $200 and $300 a year. All I'm asking is $30 a year for everything. I'm putting all of my work out there, all of it, all the pictures and documents and research papers and all kinds of stuff that I've been working on for years. I want to put it all out there, but I've been putting up my work on, you know, out in the public for, you know, at least 45 years. I've been doing what I do publicly, speaking at events. I don't ask for anything, and consequently, I don't get very much. But I cannot continue. I don't have any income. I have no income. So if I'm going to do this work and put my work out there, I at least have to pay to have it done. And I have to pay to have a website and somebody to work on it for me. So I'm just asking for $30 for the year. And most people pay $30 when they go out and have a few beers, they pay $30.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know.
Yeah, coffee.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, go out to McDonald's. You're going to drop $25 if you're bringing your kids with you.
Yeah, cable television. You know, like Rupert Murdoch's cable television. You know?
That's it. All I'm asking is like $30 for a year. And I am piling all of my research from all these years. I've had, you know, been saving this stuff and putting it all out there now because I feel it's an idea whose time has come to make it available to everyone. If you want to know about all kinds of strange things that are happening, yeah, go on my website. It's called Jordan Maxwell Research Society, and it's on my website, jordanmaxwellshow.com.
Is that the Research Society website, Jordan, is the black and red one?
That's it.
Yeah, really nice. Nice job. Looks good. Nice and glossy.
Yep.
I'll send that through to you, Garth, and I'll put that link up accompanying this podcast today.
That would be great.
Yeah, go out and goes out all across social media as well. And I think well worth it. So people can get the newsletter as well. Sign up
for
that.
And also make sure everyone knows it's brand new. It's brand new. And so I'm just now really getting going. It's taken me 3 months to fight to get the professionals to put the idea together, what it's going to look like, how it's going to work. Then I got to get other people to come in and make sure all the connections are made right. We have to protect it by law, so we got to copyright and trademark and all that stuff. And then we got to get people to come in and put the website together and make it work and make all. And so it's very costly and time-consuming to put together a really tight and good website. But thank God it's here. It's here now. And thank God I can now start downloading my work into the world on a really nice website that's very dependable and works fine. And so
it makes a difference.
Yeah, it certainly does.
It's and it's a nice-looking website. It's very slick, and it's not anything confusing. It's all there for people to go on and have a look. And as you said, the Jordan Maxwell Show is your actual podcast show as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the podcast, and a lot of information on that. And I'm going to start doing more radio. I've been remiss that I've been so busy. I haven't been doing a whole lot on my podcast, but I'm getting busy now and starting to do more radio on my podcast. But there's a lot of shows. I don't know, there's about 40 shows already on there that you can go on and listen to for free. And then join the, it's called Jordan Maxwell Research Society, which is just my new website. And so if you want to join, I'd be happy to have you, because I'm going to be putting a lot of stuff on, and I'm in the process of it doing now. But I've got two other webmasters who are working with me around the clock doing it for me, because I don't know anything about websites and technology.
Yeah, it's hard to build them, you know?
It is, but I got two good guys who are really good friends who are helping me.
Yeah.
But I got to pay them something, and I don't have anything. You know, all my money was robbed from me. I had the people who stole my website stole the bank account that was with the website, and they redirected the bank account to themselves, and then they redirected my emails, all 27,000 emails. They redirected the emails to themselves, not to me. So that for the past five years, people have been writing me from around the world private emails, and it's going to the people who stole my website. And people think they're writing to me. They're not writing to me. They're writing to criminals who have stolen my website, stole my money, they stole my products, they stole my name, they stole everything from me. And so I'm trying to get back on my feet and fighting at 75 years old. I'm trying to get my own life back and get my website back. And you know, my attorneys saw to it that we were looking at, we subpoenaed the banks to give us the, how much money these people have stolen from me. And we got, just off of PayPal alone, we have from the banks, from PayPal alone, $430,000 they have made off of me in the past 4 years. They were making like $120,000 a year off of me, and I never saw a nickel, nothing, for 5 years. I don't have any control over my website. They stole my website. They stole my name, my bank account, my products, everything. And these criminals are buying drugs and traveling around the world in their new cars, with their ponytails, pedophile ponytails, drug addicts, who have stolen my work at 75 years old, stolen everything I've ever worked for, and living high off of my money. And the only thing I can do is fight it in court. Now, you can't fight in court if you don't have any money.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think, Jordan, that because you've been a thorn in the side of this
sort
of...
Oh, you can bet on it. Yeah, you
that
can
they
better.
Set it up. Yeah.
I would be a bit surprised.
Yeah.
Would be a bit surprised.
Yeah. They come in and do that. Yeah, just scumbags, soulless.
Bob, what are you going to do? It happened to me, and I'm still trying to fight my suck.
Yeah, it's remarkable. You're still going and started this new. Well, it's a new beginning.
It's a new start. So anybody who wants to tune in to my work and what I'm doing, just go to jordanmaxwellshow.com.
Make sure it's not, you say on your site that jordanmaxwell.com, you don't have any control over that, so it's Jordan Maxwell
right.
Show. And also
that's
Jordan Maxwell Research Society, those links will go up today. And you'll see those. But all looks great on my end. I think it looks fantastic. So great work. Yeah. And we can push this out and start again. But
that's good, because my feeling is eventually my kind of work and my kind of research and knowledge one day is going to catch on. And people who are hurting all over the world in every country, people know there's something wrong. Nothing is right. There's a lot of unlawful and governments out of control and criminality, etc. But nobody knows what to do anything about it, how to do anything about it, or how to protect themselves. Why? Because they have no knowledge. Well, that's what I'm giving you.
Yep.
Giving you almost 60 years. Well over 60 years of research and study, talking with all the experts about how stuff works, what the words mean. And so
you don't get that on many sites, Jordan. And in a crazy way, it seems to have worked out better. You know what I mean? It's in a weird way. It's things always work out if your heart's in the right place. So
that's what I
think. Yeah, I think so. If you wanted and you got your heart worn in the right place and You know, it's these criminal scumbags. They'll get what they deserve. But at the end of the day, we have this, which is this new beginning. So it's I don't know of many websites that you can pay so little and go on and get that amount of information.
That's true too. It is a whole life's
whole
work.
Life's work. Yeah.
And today, like I said, most business letters or or newsletters that you get are, you know, $200 to $300 a year or more.
Yeah.
I'm only asking $30 for the whole year, access to all of my work for a year for $30 just to help cover all my expenses to keep it there, to keep this thing going.
That's a price of a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Or going out to, like you said, just going out for a beer and a hamburger, it's going to cost you $30.
Yeah, no. I think it's a good idea, and it's very affordable for most people because a lot of people are going into hard times. But that's well affordable, and as I said, a great idea, Garth. I think it's a fantastic thing to do. I think you've really hit the nail on the head there, my friend. You've done the right thing, you know. Because what are you going to do? You know, like where are you going to? Are you just going to disappear and just not do it anymore? But this is the right way to do it. I think.
That's another thing is I can only do what my spirit wants me to do. I can't put it down. I've tried to put it down for years, but it's who I am. This is what I do. I'm a teacher. I love educating people, and so I just do the best I can with nothing, and in spite of all the enemies that try and and steal everything I've ever done and railroad me. I'm still here, still doing my work and still trying. So, and because of people like you helping me by putting me on the air, that people are finding out more and more about me. So,
and you're on Facebook as well, Jordan. You're on Facebook, yep. So a lot of people over there. You can reach so many people so quickly. So,
Well, I know.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's
so anyway, that's we can always do another show later, and we could talk about specific things happening. My first love, which I have been studying all my life, is theology. I'm fascinated and love religion, philosophy, and where things come from, theology especially. Religions and where the religious beliefs come from, and who are these different major religions, and what are you talking about when you use the term Allah and Yahweh and Yahweh and Jesus and the word church, and spirituality is very, very powerful with me.
That's what I think I'd like to get into too, Jordan, next time you're on, because as I mentioned earlier to you before we came on the air, you know, like in Genesis, things like God, one God, and et cetera, you know, where it gets to Elohim, and a lot of people don't understand this either, where it's gods in the plural. And that's these are right. The things that I think a lot of people need to understand.
Oh, heavens, I'll tell you, there's so much that people need to know about. I mean, I could talk for hours about just Moses alone.
Yeah.
Just Moses alone could be a three-hour show. Mm. And you will find that nothing that you have ever heard about Moses was true. Nothing. It has a whole different story when you know what the chief rabbis in Israel, what they know, as opposed to what you've been told and the local Jews in your area. No, wait till you hear what the authorities, the rabbinical authorities, what they actually know and what they actually have known all along. And just like today, we have parents that tell their children that Santa Claus is coming when they know there is no Santa Claus. Well, yeah, that's okay. It's a child thing, and that's one thing. But it makes the point that while the child is ill-informed and doesn't know and is trusting, but the parent knows that it's a lie. It's not true. Mm. But they're playing with the child's mind. Well, the same thing is true in religion. The rabbis and the rabbinical authorities and the higher-up authorities in Islam and Christianity and Judaism, they know stuff you don't know, and they're not about to tell you. And so when you begin to see what the real story is about Moses and what the real story is about where Judaism has actually come from, and when you begin to see where Islam and the whole religion of Islam, where it actually came from, that's a whole new story that you've never heard before. And so anyway, like I said, if you wake up, then if you really want to wake up, we need to do some shows on this. And, yeah. I'll lay it out for you.
Great. That sounds great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, this can be part one then. Part one today.
You got to start somewhere.
That's all right. We will. And really fascinating stuff. And as we said before we started, John, we can't do it all on a podcast, so it's better to do it incrementally and just discuss it and go through your research and entice people to join up and read and listen to your shows as well and get involved. There's plenty online still, YouTube, everything. You're on Facebook. We'll put this out there. So there's no excuse for people not to join in.
And, well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for the help.
Yeah, your shows are good too. I really enjoy them. So your podcast that you've done, you've talked to some great guests there. And, well done. Very exciting times ahead, I think.
I hope so. Just keep doing it.
Yeah. Yep, as you said, at least we did something. At least when we die, we did something, and we can be proud of that.
That's right. That's what I feel. At least I tried to do something to help my fellow man.
You didn't end up on a couch with a can of Pepsi in your hand watching The Bold and the Beautiful with drool coming out the side of your mouth, Jordan.
Yeah, right. No, I have no time for that.
You had
no
a go. Time.
That's right.
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy
Well,
time.
Thank you again for helping me.
All the best, Jordan.
We'll catch up again soon.
Do that for sure. You got my email.
Yeah.
Talk with you later.
Okay. Thanks, my friend. Great work.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.